It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
More and more, Christians in the West are rubbing shoulders with people from other cultures. One thing we should learn from this is that we need to grow more culturally aware in order to be more effective in evangelism. This is particularly true in North America and Western Europe. In 2017, BBC recognized Toronto, Canada, as the world's most culturally diverse city. Metro Vancouver, where I live, can't be far behind. When it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, how do we live in that place of wholesome tension between faithfulness to God and relevance to culture? In the previous podcast last week, my young friend was concerned that Christians from other cultures were discounting righteousness and elevating honor and power. What he is learning is that not only righteousness, but also honor and power are integral components of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me provide an extended quote from the helpful website honorshame.com that summarizes the three dominant types of culture we dealt with last week. Number one, guilt innocence or guilt righteousness. Cultures are individualistic societies, mostly Western, where people who break the laws are guilty and seek justice or forgiveness to rectify a wrong. Number two, shame honor cultures describe collectivistic cultures common in the East, where people are shamed for not fulfilling group expectations and seek to restore their honor before the community. And three, fear power cultures refer to animistic contexts, typically tribal, where people afraid of evil and harm pursue power over the spirit world through magical rituals. Now, we learned in the previous podcast that guilt, fear, and shame were the responses to sin in Genesis 3. Each culture responds to sin predominantly as guilt or fear or shame. And as such, each culture resonates with the gospel in a way that aligns with its response to sin. For instance, those of us who live in a culture that is principally guilt righteousness, such as my own, typically respond to sin with guilt. As such, we tend to resonate with the righteousness of God as sin's antidote. Those from other cultures may resonate more with the honor of God or the power of God. Does the Bible manifest cultural awareness in evangelism? Well, let's briefly take a look at some incidents in the book of Acts to become a bit more culturally aware. First, here's an exercise for later. I want you to compare Paul's gospel address to a Jewish audience in Jerusalem. You'll find that in Acts 21, verse 37, through to Acts 22, verse 21. Now, you compare that with his address to a Greek audience in Athens, Acts 17, verses 16 to 34. You'll find a significant difference between the two. Paul was uncompromisingly faithful to the gospel, and yet culturally relevant to his different audiences, whether Jewish or Gentile. Here are three more conversion scenes in Acts. First is Philip's conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch. We find that in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. I propose that this is focused on a guilt-righteousness context. The Ethiopian eunuch was returning from Jerusalem. It could be implied that he was aware of the various sacrifices from his time there. Those sacrifices taught the need for a sinless sacrifice in place of a sinful human. His reference to Isaiah 53, we find that in Acts 8:32-33, together with Philip's explanation of Isaiah's prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus, led to the Ethiopian's realization that Jesus Christ is the substitutional sacrifice that is the basis for divine forgiveness. Here's another one. In the dramatic conversion of Saul of Tarsus, known as the Apostle Paul later, you find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. For the most part, this event manifests a shame-honor setting. We read of Saul falling to the ground, and being confronted with his shameful actions. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. He is later greeted as Brother Saul. There's community. His vision is restored, and it is revealed that he is my chosen instrument. This incident is replete with a light from heaven, visions, and voices. Third is the conversion scene of the Roman centurion Cornelius that we find in Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 48. Fear power seems to be the focus of this narrative, as is appropriately given the culture of Rome and its army. Note Cornelius kneeling before Peter, verse 25, his immediate response to the direction of the angel, verse 33, his reference to the Lord has commanded, again verse 33, the mention of the Holy Spirit and power, verse 38, for those who are under the power of the devil, again verse 38, that God raised Jesus from the dead, verse 40, and he commanded us to preach, verse 42, followed by the manifestation of the Spirit by these brand new Gentile believers, verses 44 to 48. The gospel is uncompromised in each incident, and yet it is presented differently depending on the culture of the audience. Despite the cultural focus of each, again, they all contain aspects of the righteousness, power, and honor of God. Now, let's look at how this impacts your communication of the gospel. Most of us need a thicker evangelism. And what I mean by a thicker evangelism is the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ more effectively to people of other cultures. Hopefully, you are encouraged to grow in your skill of telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. Here are some texts to consider. Read them, learn what they mean, and build them into your evangelism. For example, guilt righteousness. Romans 1, verse 17 contains the key concept. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written. The righteous will live by faith. Other texts to consider in a guilt-righteous context are Romans 3, verses 21 to 24, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And don't forget to read these verses in their contexts. What about people from a shame-honor culture? Among other things, being invited or restored into community is important to them. Thus, a text such as Romans 5, verses 10 to 11 is significant, particularly in its use of reconciliation. Here it is. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5, verses 10 to 11. Other texts to ponder in the context of shame-honor cultures include 1 Samuel 2, verse 8, Psalm 113, verses 7 to 8, Luke 1, verse 52, James 2, verse 5, and Revelation 3, verse 21. And again, read them in their respective contexts. What about fear power cultures? We read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Also note the many references to and manifestations of power through Jesus Christ. For instance, Matthew 22, verse 29, Luke 22, verse 69, Romans 1, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18, 2, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7, and 13, verse 4, and 1 Peter 1, 5. Again, reading them in their respective contexts. Where do we go from here? How do you communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ with people of other cultures? Some will say the gospel is the gospel. It's not different for different people. Well, in one way, that's true. It can be presented in ways that make more sense to these people. Here are four things to keep in mind, to be sensitive to. Number one, remember the three absolutes of every human. We are all wired for God, and we all need the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter who we are. Number two, the God revealed as Jesus Christ is the God of all cultures. No matter how different a culture may be, there is evidence of this God in every place and every time. Number three, culture affects how people see the world and how they respond to sin. Each culture is dominated by guilt or shame or fear, and God meets them where they are with the good news of Jesus Christ. Number four, be aware of the cultural dynamics of people when you share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is not a one-size-fits-all prescription. Ask some questions. Show genuine interest. Where is the person from? What has he or she heard about Jesus? And what does he or she think of Jesus? How do they believe a person comes to know God? They may refer to their need for forgiveness of sins if they come from a guilt-righteousness culture, their need for reconciliation of their broken relationship with God if they are from a shame-guilt culture, or deliverance and protection from evil powers if they are from a fear-power culture. Discern what resonates with them, and then emphasize that aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This does not mean ignoring the rest of the gospel, whether it is deliverance, reconciliation, or forgiveness. It means being culturally aware for more effective evangelism.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.